And our first guest is going to be a world-renowned neurosurgeon, Dr. Joseph Maroon. Joe, good morning.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's great to be on the show with you.
Well, it's good to have you. Just real quickly, could you give us a little of your background? Joe, ladies and gentlemen, Joe is he's known worldwide for not only his skills as a neurosurgeon, but also as a Ironman competitor. Just tell us a little about your Ironman competition, Joe.
Well, it's a long story, but I'll abbreviate it very briefly. Quite a few years ago, I guess you'd say I went through a midlife crisis, and I was quite down, depressed. Actually, had to leave neurosurgery for about a year. And I discovered that running in particular, I started to run and I found that my depression was lifting. I was feeling better. And eventually I learned to swim and I learned to bike. And I found that physical activity was probably the best antidepressant, not only I, but most people can take to alleviate depression. It occurs in 1 in 4 people in the United States. So the physical activity actually subsequently with getting back to prayer, religion, spirituality, and also a very healthy diet compared to what I was living on, got me into competing in triathlons, in a very small ones initially. And eventually I qualified for the Hawaiian Ironman triathlon, which is a very, very trying experience.
Well, 2.4 that's miles, big time.
112 mile bike,
yeah.
And a marathon. So I've been able to continue doing that, and it's contributed to in a great part to, I guess, the mind body connection and work life balance.
But it's very competitive. You've won some championships in your age bracket, haven't you?
Well, I've been very fortunate, Jim. When you get to be my age, there aren't too many people left in your bracket.
So I know the feeling.
But I have done well.
Well, that's great. Well, you also have a out of the hospital career with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And tell us a little about that. How long have you been associated with the Steelers?
Well, I've been with them now close to 30 years, I guess.
Wow.
And very early on, Mr. Dan Rooney, very prescient, brilliant, and caring relative to the players, the team, and everyone associated with the team, asked me to get involved relative to the problem of concussions, back problems, neck problems. And so in the late 1980s, I started working and assisting them and have continued through to this day, working with Dan Rooney, who again, Art Rooney, very similar to his father in terms of really first-class medical care with other consultants, Jim Bradley, Tony Yates, who work with me, or I work with them, and providing what we feel is very top-notch care for the athletes.
Well, I was watching the game, and I'm sure you were there when Antonio Brown was knocked out by Burfik, the linebacker from Cincinnati. And the irony of that is that Antonio Brown, who is no longer with the Steelers, and I'm glad that he's gone. He was a distraction, but he's a great athlete, great receiver. But he was knocked out on a vicious hit by Burfik, and he is now with the Oakland Raiders, and Cincinnati let Burfik go this year, and he signed with the Raiders. So they are united once again. I wonder how that's going to. I guess you were there that night when he took that terrible hit.
I was there, and it was one of the most vicious hits I've seen in since the years I've been watching football. And he made a very significant recovery, obviously. And it will be interesting to see what happens with them together on the same team, but I'm sure they will kiss and make up and go charging on.
Yeah, there's something about being teammates once you're a teammate, since a lot of those old battles go away. Well, you were there when Jack Lambert was there. I had a conversation with Jack Lambert about what he thinks of today's football, and he said, it's just a bunch of sissies. They won't let you do anything.
His famous comment was, we should just put skirts on the quarterback.
That's right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Maroon, Dr. Joe Maroon, is associated with St. Barnabas, and he is working with a program called Cognitive Brain Health. And Joe, tell us about your relationship with St. Barnabas and a little about this brain health project.
Sure. I'm very pleased to be associated with St. Barnabas. Not only is it the largest healthcare system in the state relative to senior citizens, but the quality of care there is simply outstanding. I've had several patients and friends who have been there as patients and clients and visited with them, and the facility is just outstanding and one that I'm very pleased to be associated with. Clearly, dealing with elderly patients, there's always the problem of mild cognitive impairment, subsequent dementia, and even Alzheimer's disease. So the question is, what, if anything, can be done relative to enhancing, prolonging brain health? And some people feel that everything is genetically determined in terms of disease processes, and that is simply not the case. 70% of the diseases we will acquire are due to environmental factors. And what do I mean by environmental factors? It's not just the air, water, and toxic substances we consume, like too much alcohol or smoking, but it's also our diet, whether or not we exercise, and also stress control. These are all called epigenetic factors. In other words, they're above the genes. They tell the genes what to do in our body, either for good or for bad.
So the fact that my mother lived to be 101 years old, and I hope I have all those genes, that's not enough, is it?
It is not enough. It's a big plus, no question about it. I mean, there clearly is a genetic link, a strong genetic link to longevity. But somebody with the best genes who abuses themselves, don't get enough exercise, drinks, smokes too much, eats the wrong foods, you're going to diminish the advantage you may have with that. So the point is of the program is to try to introduce things relative to diet, exercise, stress control, and other techniques that we've recently introduced. They're a virtual reality program.
I know about that, and that's really got some promise, doesn't it?
Well, it's exciting. The ability to put on a head-mounted display that really portrays realistic and interactive computer-generated environments that individuals can watch, it's amazing to watch their expressions and moods. In other words, what I just said, you can, let's say you want to take a hike through a Yellowstone National Park. You can put on this head-mounted display and literally in 3D with a swivel chair, turn your head and look at the mountains and then the caribou and then the geysers and we're actually introducing an olfactory component so that concurrently you can inhale fresh pine. And the olfactory stimulation is huge in terms of the emotional response.
Well, now, isn't this just a technology's way of what we used to do when we read books? we would read novels and sort of escape from reality, and it was soothing and I think relieved stress. But now technology and something like this takes you far beyond the reading a book.
Yeah, it certainly does. And in terms of memory, you know, so much is encoded in our brain that we never recall. But just pick up a picture of when you were a kid, or a picture of your mother or father or grandparent when you were much younger, in a living room or on a playground. And these memories immediately come flooding back from the interstices of the, as we would say, the synaptic connections of your brain, where memories are encoded or stored. And a smell, the perfume business is a multi-billion dollar business because of the memories that it evokes relative to the, what we call the limbic system, the emotional system of the brain. So a picture is said to be worth 1,000 words.
Now, ladies and gentlemen,
true.
Excuse me, Joe, I just want to tell our audience, anyone that doesn't understand all the details of what Joe is explaining, you can call me. And I'll fill you in on all of this scientific stuff.
Well, I think you have a very educated audience listening to this program, Jim.
Well, and is this going to be available in Beaver County?
And I think it's terrific. It is, yes. Anyway, the virtual reality program is a very new, innovative approach to bringing people out of a fog. We've seen patients with various Parkinson-type diseases. One patient with significant Alzheimer's disease early on became so engaged with, they have programs for parachuting out of an airplane, or playing volleyball, or doing all sorts of things that can evince memories of things gone past and get people totally engaged, so that if you have a toothache, you can only think about your tooth hurting. But if you're distracted, suddenly your tooth doesn't hurt as much. So it's actually being used in recovery rooms as a pain analgesic type of device.
Oh, that is
being used to treat patients with PTSD, anxiety, and depression. So it's a technology that's been used by kids with Game Boy and other types of programs. Now it's being used for the elderly, and we're just very excited about the response.
Well, you know, we have a beautiful facility in Brighton Township, Beaver Meadows, and I'm sure that residents there will really enjoy this reality and putting on the headsets and sending them back to their memories.
Well, like you said, Jim, it's all about brain health, and the three most important things in life that I've concluded are, number one, a healthy mind and a healthy body, and anything we can do to maintain that. Number two are relationships with God, family, and friends. And I think what I've seen at St. Barnabas is just that. There's clearly an effort to build relationships and to have friends and associates that are supportive. And then number three is carpe diem, seize the day. And we don't know the time, nor the hour, nor the date, but every day we need to be mindful and appreciative of the incredible gifts and blessings we've been given, and seize the day.
Well, that certainly is true. I know at St. Barnabas, it is a place of faith, and it's a place of healing, and it's a place of joy. I just attended a residence luncheon, appreciation luncheon, for some folks that have lived in one of our villages for 10 years. And it was really interesting to see how happy they were, and to hear their stories, and to hear them laughing. And and they know that they're in a safe place and in a place that provides a very high level of care. And our association with you, Joe, is really, we're very proud of that. I don't know of another doctor that I have known. I think you're in that same league with Dr. Starzl and Dr. Salk. They were leaders in their field, and you certainly have been a leader in the field of neurosurgery and in brain health. So we're honored to have you with us, and it was great to have you on the air today. And